Our scripture in the New Testament here refers to an event in the Old Testament in which the people were wandering in the wilderness and there were poisonous serpents that came and bit them and many died. And Moses was told by God to make a fiery serpent and raise it up upon a cross. And when the people looked upon the serpent and believed that God would help them, they did not die from the bites of the serpents. And so even today, we use a serpent on a staff as a symbol of medical care. I worked as an EMT and paramedic, and there was always a caduceus, a snake wrapped around a staff, which represented medical care even in our day, modern times today. Didn't know that was biblical, did you? I didn't either until I reread that scripture and went, oh, yeah, I know what that is. And we discussed this in our Bible study class, and we found it interesting that here's Moses making a brass snake to hang on a cross after, not too many chapters before, we had read about how we weren't supposed to make idols. Well, what goes on here? Well, the people were not to worship the snake any more than you should worship your friendly neighborhood doctor or nurse or paramedic. But they would believe that God would heal them when they saw the snake. And so John says that the people will believe that God will heal them when they see Jesus on the cross, or when, in our case, we remember Jesus and His death and resurrection. And so we still put a cross up to recognize, to remember, to be reminded of that sacrifice that He made. See, Jesus is the cure for the sins of the world. The problem is, just like a lot of diseases that we have today, just because you take the cure one time does not mean that you're necessarily healed. Because we continue to sin. And so we have to go back to the source of that healing again and again if we want to change from the people that we were, who preferred darkness to light, to the people we can be, who prefer light over darkness. We think that once we have accepted Jesus, we're done. We're not done. We've just begun. Once we become Christians, then we have to be Christians. Once we have accepted Christ into our lives, then we have to act like Christ. We have to act Christ-like. That's what it is to be Christian. Phil offered us an example of Christ-like action in his expression or definition of salty service. Phil, in your sheet there, I only had one. Not even a correction, just a comment. And that is, it says that financial giving is not salty service, but it certainly can be. Just regular giving to the church is not what we're talking about in terms of salty service. It's that little gift, or maybe big gift, that comes unexpectedly, that comes frequently anonymously, that we give in order to change somebody's life, that we give in order to change somebody's future, that we give in order to get their attention, or to share God's love, or to show that, not that we care, but that He cares. You ever give somebody something anonymously? You ever have occasion when somebody tells you about someone in need and you say, well, here's the money to go help them with their utilities. And they go, oh, they will so appreciate it that you gave them that. No, don't tell them I gave it. It doesn't matter that I gave it. Tell them God loves them. That's what's important. Stand in line at the grocery store and somebody's struggling there because they've got a couple of dollars more worth of groceries than they had money in their pocket and they're trying to figure out which thing to give back. And you slip them a couple of bucks to the cashier and say, here, just take that. Not just because you're in a hurry and you want them to get out of the way. But because you've been blessed. And you want to share that blessing with someone who is there in front of you struggling. See, salty service isn't just about the gift. It's about the heart. It's about the reason behind the gift. If we give it because God loved us, forgave us, gave so much to us that we can't not give, then that's salty service. If we give just to get the guy out of the way so he can go ahead and get through the, you know, grocery line, then, yeah, that's not so salty. We've lost our saltiness. And they won't know God because we were in a hurry. But they might know God if we were giving that in love. It's not a matter of what you do. It's a matter of why you do it. Do you give because you love? Because you've been loved? Do you give because you care? Because you know He cares? Do you give to other people? Do you help other people? Do you reach out to other people? Do you give a word of encouragement to other people because somebody did it first to us? And so now we can help someone else. See, there was a time in my life when I thought I was a good person because I was doing good work. And I was a paramedic and I was a hero and I was out there saving lives. And, you know, what a great guy I am. Until I really looked at my life and realized that my life was a mess. Yeah, I was doing good work, but I wasn't doing it to serve anybody but myself. I just wanted to do it because it was fun. It felt good. I enjoyed it. It felt great to be the hero, the good guy, the lifesaver, the all those things that we talk about. And then I had to realize that what I was doing really was serving myself. I was being selfish. I was doing it for me. And I had to turn and look at myself. And what I saw was not real pretty. I was a mess. And when I realized that my life was a mess, was when I began to realize that I needed God in my life. I'd grown up in the church. I'd gone to Sunday school. I'd heard all the stories. But I had chosen to go my way, not His way. And I'd made a mess out of it. I'd made a huge mess out of it. And it was when I realized what a mess I had made of my life that I had an opportunity to give up my life, to give my life to God, to offer myself in service. And so now I try and help people. Just like I used to try and help people. But I don't try and help people just for me anymore. I try and give them what I've been given. I try and share with them what God has shared with me. The knowledge that I can be forgiven. That my life can be changed. That things can change. That I don't have to go on doing the things I did or being the way I was. That I can be different. I can be better. I can serve not just myself, but God. And see, until I looked at my life and said, what a mess, I couldn't give it up. As long as I thought I was a great guy doing great stuff, then everything seemed to be fine. But just like that oak tree that used to be over by the fellowship hall, my life was rotten at the core. And one day, the wind blew hard enough, but I found out just how rotten it was. And everything came crashing down. I could have just given up and it had been over. I was that close. But God said, give it to me. Give it to me. And I will give it back to you. And I did. And He did. And I stand before you a changed person. Transformed, sanctified, redeemed, But know that even when we take the cure, when we look at our lives, find it wanting, and give it to God, we haven't eliminated the sin. The sin's still there. I'm still the same person. I still have the same wants and needs and tendencies, you know. I mean, I still fall over and make messes and mess up and do things wrong and get it wrong and do things for the wrong reasons, and just like I used to. Except now I know when I do that and I go, "Oop, wait a minute. Sorry, God. That was me talking, not you. Here's my life. You know, I know I don't know how to do this. You need to show me what you want, not just me do what I want." And in that moment, I get a little closer to being like Christ. Will I ever be Christ? No, of course not. Will I ever be perfect? Not even close. But I know now that there's a difference between just doing good stuff because it feels good for me to do that and doing the right thing for the right reason because it's the right thing. Even when I don't understand how it's going to work, even when I don't understand how it's going to make a difference, even when I don't know why I should do that, I always seem to find out later. I know it's the right thing because the Word tells me. I know it's the right thing because God tells me that I should love people and care for people and do for people without thought of what's in it for me, without thought of, wow, how am I going to look? Does my uniform look good? Am I looking good here? TV cameras rolling? It don't matter. It doesn't even matter if they know. It doesn't matter if anybody knows what I did, when I did it, who I did it for. It doesn't matter. Because it's already mattered between me and Him. I said, here's my life. Take it and use it. He said, okay, I got you. You asked for it. Uh-oh. But now what I do is His. It's not mine. I don't care if anybody knows. I don't care if anybody sees. It doesn't matter whether anybody understands. The only thing that matters is, how am I with Him? Am I doing what He wants me to? Am I right with Him? I hope so. Sometimes not, you know. But I try. I try doing what's right with Him, not what's right for me. Cure cures us of our sin, but we keep sinning, so we keep needing more of the cure. It's not enough to say, okay, I believe in Jesus, I'm done, no problem, down the road. So now who's going to forgive us when we sin the next time? And the next time, and the next time, and the next time. Well, He is. Well, how do you know? You're not talking to Him. Well, He said I was forgiven. Well, yeah, you were. Were. Not are, were. You got to keep talking to Him. You got to keep in communion. You got to keep in relationship. You got to keep in justification. You got to keep saying, okay, God, what am I doing here? What do you want me to do now? How can I serve you? What can I do? Not to earn it, not even to pay it back, but just to stay in that right place, to stay in that right relationship, to continue being that salty servant. See, when I was working aboard ship, salty meant something really different. Those of you who've been around seamen and fishermen and people who like salt water know what salty is. Not nice. Crusty, rough, tough. It's not kind of salty we're talking about here. We're talking about the salt of the earth kind of salty. People who do anything for you. People who go out of their way to help people who they don't even know. Because they don't even know them. Because they know that God knows them. Because they know that they want to do whatever they can, whenever they can, however they can. What was it Wesley said? Do all the good you can to all of those you can. Amen. You know? We're not doing it for us. We're not here for us. Our lives do not belong to us. If we've really given our lives to Christ, they're His now. Have we really given our lives? Have we really given to Christ? Or do we just want to be blessed and don't want to pay the price? It's up to you. It's up to each of us. It's not what we do. It's how and why we do it. Amen?